What's up, humans? Welcome to the Human Music Podcast. I'm Luke Rain. My co-hosts are Tesco and Rip Kenny, and we are all music producers, artists, and producer coaches. This show is where we discuss all things music production and interview amazing creatives about their origins, their process, and whatever else comes up. This week is episode 125, playing an all-original set at a festival. Luke Rain, yours truly, is fresh off playing an all-original set at Heart Expansion Festival outside Seattle at the end of August. We talk about how to set the vibe, transitioning between tempos, getting over the fear of playing chiller songs, how to get bookings, how to prepare for a show, how good it feels to have people ask for an ID on your original tune, and tangents that go off the rails about tripping hazards, haunted forests, yurts, teepees, and digging up a baby doll from a shallow forest grave. The song of the week is Scatter Hardships, produced by Trap Jesus, my alter ego. Links to that below. Support it. It's doing well. Shouts out to me getting a placement all the way over in England. And support our sponsors while you're down there. Spice It Up Percussion and Foley Pack that has over 2,000 percussion loops and one shots from Luke Rain and Porch, along with 50 rack instruments for Reason and Ableton. Dojo TV, where you can get free producer live stream classes from the producer Dojo Senseis, and catch us every other week live on Dojo TV. Get in the chat with us. Tesco's Patreon, where you can get Discord, track feedback, private lessons, much more from the boy Tesco. The weekly download, where you can learn from Bill Gates and his private weekly group lessons and get access to over 300 more episodes in the archive for just $20 a month. Guest practices, where you can learn from Seth Drake, the Approach Institute, the best engineer we know, and your first class is free. Check us out at thehumanmusicpodcast.com to find our socials, free sound packs, etc. Let's get on to this episode.
Hello, people of Earth. This is Tesco with Rip Kenny and Trap Jesus, and you're listening to the Human Music Podcast. Woo!
Human Music Podcast. I like it.
What's up, humans?
What's up?
Yahoo! And to bring it all the way back to Anybody on the video just saw me do a weird Gene Simmons tongue thing to my microphone?
Nice.
I'm not sorry for it.
Nice.
In fact, you're welcome, humans. It will haunt your dreams.
If we even get to sleep.
Oh, yes. If you get to sleep. Big if. But hey, we're actually, I think, please somebody confirm that we're back on live. 2 weeks ago, there was a black screen. No idea why. Vimeo was fucking up. Hey, we got a WhatsApp from Benetti in the chat. I think, unless he's just like psychically even did linked with fuck yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm into it. All right, we got humans in the chat. Well, at least like a bunny, not necessarily fully like on human vibes, but you know, like,
yes, hello,
you know, an anthropomorphic
hello,
bunny
friends.
Is definitely yo, new maps. Very welcome here. And yeah, here we are back.
Got the whole gang back.
We were robbed of our hangout last week.
I know,
man. It's good to be back.
Yeah, I'm happy to see y'all here.
Yeah,
what's up, even style? What's up, new maps? Yeah, All right, So we were talking about what to talk about, and what I want to talk about is this cool-ass festival I went to last week. No, 2 weeks ago, because I went to another one last week. I've gone to a lot of festivals this summer,
guys.
You
do a lot of things. You actually do a lot of things.
I'm a busy human.
Yeah.
I'm a busy human.
It's cool.
And, well, I did just go to a fun one called Shebang. It was Shebang. A good time. There's a bunch of circus performers.
Wait, straight up called Shebang?
Shebang. S-H apostrophe bang.
Was Shaquille O'Neal in that movie?
Yeah.
No, that's Shazam. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, apparently not Sinbad, though, even though everybody thinks it happened. Alternate universe stuff. What are you going to do?
Oh, was that like a Mandela theory?
It was one of the big Mandela effect ones. People are sure there was... You know, in fact, yeah, Kazam, I think, is the one with Shaquille O'Neal, and Shazam and then Shazam is the one that people think Sinbad was in dressed as a
Even
genie
better.
And Sinbad swears the movie never happened.
Interesting.
Yeah, really
who
really
knows
fun. But yeah, Shebang was cool. I was just there as a guest. I was having fun dancing and eating. I ate a big, big mushroom that looked so much like a chody penis. It was like that big. Big old mushroom.
Sounds like one of those like tall boy like Pepsi cans.
Yeah. Oh, I ran into Scott. We forgot, you know? Fucking dojo homie out there.
Scott, we forgot.
Thanks.
Love that guy.
We didn't forget you.
Thanks for that magical tab you gave me at 5:55. Dude asked me, what time is it? Should we do some acid? And I'm like, oh, let's see, it is 5:55. Yes, we should. And wow. That was a great night. That was a great Saturday night. Sunday was the mushroom night. And just as a fun aside, on mushrooms, I went to a funeral. For the festival. It was the last major event of the festival. It was fucking hilarious.
Damn, bro. I was going to say.
Yeah,
the hostess was great.
Oh, we go off the rails in this podcast like all the time, but that was going to be some fucking
honestly, the
crashers,
way you threw it in so like, nonchalantly, I thought you had like an awakening like during Jesus. Or something.
I mean, yeah.
I was worried there for a sec.
Yeah,
okay, continue.
There was a funeral for the festival at the end of the festival. They polled audience members, you know, interviewed audience members about how they think they're going to die, when they think they're going to die, what they would die for. One guy was like, I would die for anybody younger than me. And the hostess was like, anybody? I am impressed and also more concerned, sir. Mm-hmm. That does not seem like a good idea. Anybody? And then
empathy
the next
is good,
person,
but it needs a little bit of decision making in there too.
The next person is like, okay, when do you think you're gonna die? And that person was like, March 12th. I'm like, wait, what? Like, yeah, well, 2 years ago on March 12th, I got a 2-year cancer diagnosis. So seeing if that comes true. But so far, March 12th is still the date I'm expecting to be out of here by. She's like, wow, that's heavy. But, you know, I like you. I would personally kill several people younger than you to keep you around. There are some
shitty
young
people. This is a conversation you guys were having on drugs?
No, this is a show I was watching at the end of the festival. I was on drugs.
Was it scripted?
No, it was like fully improv'd. The host is like, everybody runs the festival, like, are artists that live at this quarry that is like a hippie arts quarry called the Lookout Arts Quarry.
You said this festival
was
like circus themed?
Yeah. They had all sorts of like circus acts, burlesque shows, improv shows, great music. This guy, it's just awesome stuff.
It just seems like some topics and some things that if I was on mushrooms, I might start spiraling.
Yeah, I was definitely like laying on the ground for a lot of this part. Like, definitely, I was like feeling like I was going through like a weird death portal, anyways. And my friends were like, "Get off the ground here and come lay on the ground over there. There's a funeral happening." And I'm like, "What? I don't want to walk up that hill for a funeral." And they're like, "Nah, trust me, you should come." And they were fucking right. I'm so glad I was there, because then they were like, "Yo, we bury a time capsule every year and dig it up at the funeral and then let people put stuff in the new time capsule. But because of COVID, it's been 3 years and we are really struggling trying to remember where we buried the time capsule."
Did you find it?
Eventually.
Okay. And what was in it?
Oh, who cares? That part is so unnecessary. The how and how
dug
long
up a treasure
it took
chest and it doesn't matter what
like.
Was in it. I disagree.
There was like a band flyer and somebody's diaphragm and a handful of coins and some weird goopy rotten shit and a Polaroid picture. Nobody gives a fuck about that.
But we
ended up getting the best spot because somebody's like, "Oh, I think it was I helped bury it. I was really high, but I helped bury it. And I think it was in this general area, this corner of this area, which is a stage behind an Old West saloon that they constructed." And they're like, "Oh yeah, I think it was under the mailbox." And as a bit, one of the performers picks up the mailbox and like walks it to the stage. And then for 45 minutes of digging, nobody thought to dig where that mailbox had been setting. Not one human. They just kept digging. And every time they would find a root or a rock, they would get insanely excited. Everybody would go, "Ah! It's just another fucking rock." It was just another fucking rock every time. Just a root. And we're like, "Guys, like, You're trying to dig through tree roots. I swear to God, that tree was there first. And nobody who was high with a shovel 3 years ago thought, you know where I want to dig this thing? Through tree roots.
Yeah.
And they were like, and I swear we didn't bury it deep. And they're going like a foot and a half deep in these holes. Like these high people just keep hitting the ground with this pickaxe. It was so funny.
Okay, so high people digging at a funeral. How was the music?
They played the theme song to What We Do in the Shadows, that vampire show. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead, and out of this world. And they played that Odith from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Those are just like the opening. And then there had been this weird like zombie procession walking around the festival for like hours that we ran into a few times walking around on mushrooms. And like,
were there DJs playing music there?
Not at the funeral, but at other parts.
Oh, okay.
Shouts out to DJ Parts Per Million, best DJ of the spot. He played this super dope mix while I was on acid dancing naked on a floating dock. It was like trap and twerk and and moon baton and a ton of remixes. It was one of my favorite DJ sets ever. It was so, my friends were like, we're tired, we're gonna go to bed. I'm like, I'm on acid and this DJ rocks. I'll see you guys tomorrow. It was awesome. But the best part is, so after 45 minutes of ridiculously digging on one side of the tree, just across the tree from where the mailbox had been sitting, somebody's like, wait, didn't somebody say it's where the mailbox was? Wasn't the mailbox over here? And they like move some shit out of the way that's just sitting on the ground. And there is a whole baby hand sticking out of the fucking earth like Night of the Living Dead. Like,
that sounds pretty creepy.
I lost my absolute mind. I had already been falling over laughing for most of this whole everything. And then when that baby hand came into view, we lost our shit. I was screaming and pointing and jumping and running in circles. I was so excited. And they started like, and then there's a foot. And then they pull this fucking grimy baby doll out of the ground. They're like, oh yeah, this is the time capsule. How did y'all not remember putting it inside a baby corpse, bro? They hollowed the stuffing out of a baby doll? No, I don't think they reburied it in there. Which they should have. It should be every year.
Your little gifts are on point right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, for real.
Your little emojis.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Oh. Trying to find the laugh my ass off. Intensifying
the...
And then,
oh man,
yeah, and then they pull this baby corpse out, and it turns out they had stuffed a metal box inside of a baby, like hollowed out all the stuffing inside of the torso of the baby doll, and stuffed the metal box in it, and buried that 3 years ago.
So was this a horror themed music festival, or is it just kind of seeming
that
way?
No, just baby themed.
I mean, so the main circus act on Saturday night, as I was coming up on acid, was like it was like comedy. And like the two hosts were like having an argument on whether or not it should be a dark arts show or a circus show. And so like the different like themes kept bouncing back and forth. That's part of the bit. Yeah. Like the two characters they were. In fact, one of them was the same person who was hosting the funeral. And the other one was the guy that did the bit of walking the mailbox across the whole thing.
That guy is also an asshole though, because he moved the mailbox and then never thought to look there.
He didn't have a shovel. He was the sound guy. So he like had a job.
It doesn't matter. It's kind of his fault.
I would have changed nothing. The show was great. The 45 minutes of unintentional comedy of watching high people with shovels attempt dig a hole in the same place that nothing is the funniest thing I have ever witnessed in my life. I laughed harder at that than any comedy show I've ever been to. Like, I saw Dave Chappelle live, and this was somehow funnier than that. Like, but so that's just my whole off the rails tangent about the festival I didn't even intend to talk about. I wanted to talk about the one the week before that.
Oh, welcome back to the Off the Rails podcast, where we set a topic and then never actually talk about it and then actually fake you out about the topic that we were going to talk about. It was two topics ago. Now we're going to talk about that topic.
All right, what's our next tangent so we could tangent off it?
Welcome to the Human Music Podcast.
Yeah, so 2 weeks ago, I got the honor of playing at Heart Expansion Festival. It's a festival put on by my friend Aliko, Aliko Tree, a.k.a. Aliko West, wonderful human being that does all sorts of cool events. And this is his like his baby. Him and my other friend Dorothy, who I got to hang out with and meet in Guatemala, who imports cacao. Actually, Aliko imports cacao from Dorothy's company. So it was like a whole like every day we had a cacao ceremony. There was just like jugs of cacao around that anybody could drink. It was great, delicious stuff, and definitely gives you a lot of energy and heart opening. Hence Heart Expansion Festival. And so many of my friends were there. Friends we've had on the podcast, Spencer Tribwell of the podcast fame was there, camped with me. Mikaela Kingslight was there and camped really nearby. And there's a bunch of people that were there that definitely need to be on this podcast soon because they're either awesome DJ or awesome musician or producer or singer or whatever. So lots of amazingness at that festival. And I was thinking about what do I want to play? What kind of DJ set do I want to spin at this? And I was thinking of like themes and I was thinking of like ecstatic dance, you know, kind of vibes. And then it hit me. Fuck all that shit. I am playing an all original set.
Good.
I haven't done a public.
That was the answer.
Oh, absolutely was. All along. Yeah. And so I canceled plans the weekend before and ended up just working all week on like 20 unreleased songs.
Hell
to
yeah.
Play at the festival and just touching things up, listening to them on every system I could get my hands on. And they ended up sounding great. I had such a blast playing. I got to play like right at sunset, right as it was getting dark. The crowd just kept growing. I had a blast. Oh, and I decided something I haven't done in a long time. Like I got on the mic a ton during my own DJ set, like rapping and singing along with my own lyrics between songs, like telling little anecdotes of like how the song came about or how long I had forgotten the song existed until I accidentally found it on my hard drive while looking for something else. And then be like, I don't remember making this, but it's dope. Thanks last October me. And yeah, I had a real blast doing it. Like really, definitely really like solidified like what kind of show I want to put on when I'm doing my solo stuff. Like
yeah.
Very, very vocal. Shouts out to Rekno for being an inspiration for like when I saw Rekno open for Closey last year, it was like so inspirational to see Rekno just get on the mic and jump out from behind the DJ table and like dance and sing and rap. It's like so cool. It's like, damn, yeah I want to do that.
So one thing that I've always found difficult when trying to play like an all original set, I guess this is kind of a two-faceted thing. Having enough songs at a given tempo and songs between tempos that have like nice ways to transition between them. And then also like being able to nicely switch between vibes if you're noticing the crowd is liking one thing. Because I've always felt like when I'm trying to do a set that is like all original, like it's just really hard to pivot out of the things that you've practiced, you know, if you're trying to take it a different direction. Is that a problem for you? And B, how did you set yourself up for success in that regard?
Well, good questions. And like I want to start with like the kind of vibe and mood one and then go into the tempo one. Like the vibe and mood, like I had to like get brave for myself because I've got a lot of like songs that are like a little chiller, more down tempo, not as amped. And like often I'll like play my more amped songs in a set of like more amped stuff when I'm at a setting like that, at a festival setting or at a party where people I know are like taking a lot of psychedelics and like, oh yeah, they want to get grimy, so let me give them what they want and then sneak in whichever of my tunes fit this vibe that I feel like the party wants from me. And that has worked so well. Like I felt like I've absolutely like crushed dance floors with that
strategy, and it's been really fun. But this one, I realized like I had to like kind of dig deep and remind myself that like people also dance to slower shit. They dance different. Maybe they're not headbanging or like, you know, fucking doing that move where you grab each other's hand and mutually headbang together, like
smash each other's skulls into oblivion. Like, right?
But like people do that like groovy dance, so they get their arms all wonky and wavy and like get low and, you know, or they'll like, you know, dance together because they're not headbanging and, you know, breaking each other's skulls. They can actually like dance together with their friends, you know, and like remembering that like this is like, I don't have to make people go insane on every song. I have some songs that are hyper and some songs that are chiller and some songs that are way chiller. And I'm just going to play the songs I feel like playing and like put them in an order that makes sense. And, you know, like I've got some ups and downs and, you know, really like I had a few more songs than I knew I could have time for. You know, I had an hour and I had more songs than I had time for. So I knew I would have to cut some. And then like, I just figured, you know, depending on the vibe of the crowd, I would cut various ones. If like nobody was dancing hard to the crazy ones, or if nobody was dancing hard to the chill ones, I would like cut more of that type. But people were dancing to both, so I just like cut the songs. There's a couple that like were that are pretty ready, but I might want to like redo some pieces on. I cut those, and some that have been out for a while that I just like, you know, I'm not as excited about because I didn't just work on them. So like that's, you know, that's what I cut out. And yeah, like it turned out like it was a really good reminder that I don't need to crush the dance floor. And then also I got to open for Skyzia, which who's an up and coming producer from LA out of Denver. Super cool dude. Got to really tap in with him. I gave him a ride to the airport the next day. Tangent, I'm going to go to a producer camp that he is going to be at next week in Durango, Colorado, between Expansion Festival and, I mean, not Expansion Festival, pardon me, Unison Festival and Serenity Festival that are both out there at Tico Time. And then I'm playing Tico Time. Yeah, Tico Time.
Not related to Taco Time,
yeah,
which is my favorite of the fast food
those
restaurants.
Those crisp bean burritos are so kicking.
Dude. Everything there and Mexi the ranch
fries.
They have ranch that's like half sour cream, half ranch.
Oh, sounds like the best way to get a heart attack.
Oh, it is. hands down.
But yeah, so I'm gonna get to see Skyzia next week at two different events. So we're both playing sets at Serenity Festival. He's also playing Unison, but I'm gonna be at a wedding, and then I'm driving into the producer camp that him and Future Primitive and a bunch of the other DJs from Unison are going to be playing. So if anybody that's listening live, because this episode is going to come out definitely after those camps are over. But if anybody who's here on our live right now is interested in going to that, DM me and I'll send you the info for it.
Dude, so you've been playing like a shit ton of festivals lately. For people listening, because I know that there's a lot of people listening that probably want to break in to play festivals. What are some tips that you can give them on like how to get those bookings? And then I'll move on to a part two after you answer that.
Do you want the part two of the other question we already brought up? The transitioning between tempos. I just wrote a note here about how to get booking so we can come back to it.
Great.
The transitioning between tempos piece, man, dude, I kind of arranged my set by tempo first. So like I threw all the tracks I wanted to play in first, just as I got them ready. And then I just like, okay, just manually ordered them in tempo groups and then looked at it and be like, where do I want to start? Ooh, I think I really want to start with this song. But does that work? Because that means I would probably be finishing with this song. Or I could take this chunk from the middle and move it, you know. And then, you know, I had to, you know, like a fair amount say at like 140. And I had a fair amount like in the 90s that are all pretty easy to just like nudge the tempo of the next song down a little bit, make the transition, and then during the build up, pump it up to BPM. You know, like that's always that's always a nice easy DJ trick to move a little bit. And then if you're gonna move a larger distance, you know, you can totally like, you know, turn down the resolution on your tempo slider and like really like intentionally like very like, hey, we're speeding this fucking track up. Listen to me speed this shit up 15 BPM so I can get from 105 to 120 or whatever. But if you don't feel like doing that, if you want to do more to be more subtle and more seamless, there's always that beautiful like reverb washout trick. Just let a track end and during the outro slowly and then quickly crank the reverb on it and just let it whoosh, and then you can hit play on anything at any time.
Dude, literally, okay, if anyone is listening that is a DJ and needs the most critical, most used trick, it is literally that. I love to also do dub echo on like the individual track effects.
Mm-hmm.
Like dub echo to the left on the knob on a DJM 900 does a similar thing, but it's also got like delay and like a grainy thing to it. So it'll like delay, grain, and like feedback out. And then if you combine that with reverb on the master effects, like you have a nearly limitless wash that you can mix in underneath. And if you have the dub echo timed to like a half bar, a half beat or whatever, like, and your song has like a nice little bit that you can crank with the dub echo, you could like get just like a word or something if you've practiced that outro transition bit. Anyways, you can make a train wreck conceptually of a transition seem really easy.
Yeah.
Write that one down. You're going to use that one. Dub echo, reverb washout, do it.
Yeah, it's so easy. It works so well. You can go to any tempo and then you just hit play on a new song. You can even hit play halfway through a new song. It's like it really doesn't matter. You can jump to anything at any point. It's great.
The best part is without fail, if you accidentally get just not enough of that effect before the song ends and it gets just a little too quiet, the crowd will applaud.
Yeah.
They will fill
that space.
Because when it gets quiet, literally like that, it's just everyone standing in a crowd just does that. So you won't even feel awkward even though you fucked it up. And it's so funny because the first time you'll do it, you'll get like beat red and you'll be like, oh, fuck. And then they will start applauding and you'll be like, oh, right. Yeah, they told me this would happen. Yeah, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
The awkward moment when no one applauds and you just shit yourself on stage.
And they're just like, give me sound.
At least 20 people, if there's at least 20 people there and it's not like a crowded bar where people are just drinking and not notice you're there, like they'll applaud.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
It's just funny to think about.
Yeah. Guaranteed by Rip Kenny. They're going to applaud. And then they didn't.
It's like, that bastard.
Fuck. Yeah. Well, you should have done the transition better. I said, if you fuck it up, don't worry.
Yeah. And then just to put a bow on the setting of vibe part, like I had to get over my own fear of playing chill songs and like just played my chill songs. I even like played an acoustic track that I wrote and made with my friends just because they were both there and I just wanted to drop it. It's like literally acoustic guitar, djembe, shakers, and three voices. And it went over. Some of my friends knew it already, so they were singing along and shit. It was great. And then I dropped into another bass song. Fuck it. Why not?
Good.
you know, you can play as long as the music is good. People go on the ride with you. That's something to remember. Yeah, and then that really got reconfirmed during Skyzia's set because he plays like some, you know, melodic bass music. It's a little tipperish, maybe, you know, it's like vibey and down tempo ish, instrumental, like some cool, wonky sound design, but not super insane. And it's like some of his songs are a little more bangerish, and a lot of his songs were super chill. And like I danced even harder to the chill songs because I had more space to move in different ways and instead of like the bangers where you're like, oh, all I can do is this motion with my head and like jump. You know, whereas like when the chill ones, you get to move in, it's like, right, this is a confirmation. Like, doesn't like if you got music, whatever your vibe is that you do well, do that shit. The people will come along for the ride, and the people that don't. And that's just fine. You'll find your tribe.
Yeah, literally. That is, again, the a very important thing to remember. Like, do what you do well and like have the confidence in that thing. Mm-hmm. Because if it's authentic, the people that fuck with it will fuck with it 10 times as hard. And the people that don't aren't your target audience. They're not your, you know, yeah. your true fans. So
most metalheads don't like R&B. That's okay.
It's true. I'm not a huge R&B guy myself.
Not a huge metal guy. But yeah, me and Evan are still friends, and there's a lot of music we both like. Friends.
So I'm both.
Hey, see?
I am the glue.
Hey. Does that make me rubber? Really? You're glue. Whatever you'd say, bounce off me, stick to you.
You'd be like a fine satin, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
And Evan would be the sturdiest lump of metal.
Lump.
Good.
Yes, it's good. You're very refined.
Yes.
Another distinguished gentleman.
Speaking about metal, I just need another tangent to go back to this shebang festival. They had an area off to the side in the woods.
This
called,
is the circus again?
Yep, called Tripping Hazard.
Great.
And my friend's like, do you want to go in there? It doesn't sound like anything's playing in there. I'm like, well, somebody said it looks cool, so let's go in and just look at it. And we walk in. It's all red lights. These crazy, yeah, like, woven branches. Dark, there's fucking, like, deer skulls all over the place. It's, like, clearly set up in a really, like, Wiccan, creepy, ritualistic way. And then there's this group of people gathering on one end. So we walk over there, and right then, this thing starts where this, like, dude in this giant, terrifying mask is holding this bag, like, full of rattles and some sort of dust. And there's four people, like, crawling on the ground around him, moaning and writhing. And he's shaking the bag of dust and rattles at him. And they're like, ooh! And he's, like, putting his hand on their head and throwing them on the ground. And they're writhing and screaming and moaning. And we're just, like, watching. It's like, the fuck is even going on? Who's going to get sacrificed?
Fuck?
And then the shaman, like, after, like, he walks up onto the stage, which is just, like, a slightly higher part of the woods ground, and, like, walks up there and, like, pulls up this big knife and, like, starts stabbing something that's right behind this, like, berm, and, like, gets blood all over the knife, and then rips off his mask and, like, screams and stares at the knife, and then he picks up a fucking bass. And this other dude jumps out of the woods with a guitar, and they just start playing what I can only describe as ambient metal. So the drums.
Oh, it's probably like black metal or something.
Yeah, I think so. The drummer was like way quieter than the bass and the guitar from where I was sitting. And they were just like, just headbanging. It like didn't build or didn't go anywhere, and it didn't change. And I was like, and I'm good. I'm glad I got to see the start of this show, and I feel not at all compelled to stay for the rest of it. All right. Thanks for that 7 minutes of terror and 3 minutes of whatever that kind of music is.
I mean,
I'm going to go to camp and get a snack.
Yeah. So that place dimension was accurately named.
Yeah.
Absolute tripping hazard.
Yeah.
B, it sounds like you went to a fucking haunted house, not a festival, dude. You're talking about dead baby corpses and people stabbing things and blood,
funerals,
death rituals, funeral. Yeah.
Man.
Haunted house.
These
you
are
were
the
at
things
a haunted house.
That I feel the most compelled to talk early. About, but there was also like actual like children clowns, like children's style clowns. There was like a melodrama shows where it was like an improv show, and there was like a band playing. It was kind of like Rocky Horror-ish, but without the horror part. And then like there was juggling acts, there was a dude spinning plates, there's a guy, the DJ Parts Per Million, who I said had like the best set at the thing. He did a circus act where his homie was playing a violin, and he came out dressed in a wedding dress with one of those crystal balls where, you know, you like balance the crystal ball like that, mm-hmm. and like throw it and catch it. And there was just like bubbles, like a bubble machine making thousands of bubbles as he danced around with this ball. Like there's people doing
like an episode of
like
Midnight
circus,
Gospel.
Yeah, literally. Silks. I was.
Yeah, it's a cool ass
it
festival.
It does.
It's a cool
sounds
ass
crazy.
Festival. Just, like,
sounds like crazy time.
You mean haunted house. Cool ass haunted house.
Yeah, that's
with camping. Yeah. Haunted House with camping.
Yeah, it was great. 10 out of 10 would recommend Shebang.
You know, definitely I'm not going to lie. That
there's
is,
not a lot of parking.
That sounds like the most interesting off-the-wall festival haunted house that I've ever heard of. Never heard anyone tell me five stories from a festival where I was like,
that's like five separate events from most people.
Like, what the fuck? Like, I've never said what the fuck in my head so many times about a festival haunted house.
Yeah, for real, right? But yeah, so to circle back then, how to get these bookings that I've been getting. How did I do it, man? I remember.
How did you do it, man? Didn't play the haunted house, did you?
No, considered like hitting them up because 2 months before the festival, when I heard it existed, it was because I was camping at the spot. You can just camp at this place on HipCamp.
Wait, what's HipCamp? Is that an app for camping?
It's like Airbnb for cool ass camping spots. Like cooler than like not just like any old like state park or regular ass like KOA campground, but like trippy spots where you like stay in somebody's yurt or at a hippie quarry or in a fucking magic school bus or something.
What's a yurt?
You're like a big teepee that's fancy.
It's like it's like a Norwegian
teepee.
It's like a round building.
Yeah.
Has like a pointed
but it's like
roof.
Canvas and like wood kind of small exterior framing.
This one's got a kitchen in it.
Yeah, oh, you're Googling. Good. I'm glad you're Googling yurt so I can stop trying to explain what a yurt looks like.
Yeah.
Drop a Y in the chat if you're asking why has Tesco never heard of a yurt.
Okay, don't even pretend like yurts are common.
I've known about yurts my entire fucking life, bro. Yeah. I've slept in quite a few of them.
All right, well, I've slept in zero yurts, only igloos up here.
Yeah, a yurt is like an igloo that's not made of snow.
No, it's like a teepee. You know what teepees are?
You wipe your butt.
No, a teepee is what the natives made. It's like native yurts, except smaller.
Wait, so when I said teepee, you didn't know what I meant?
What's a teepee?
All right, see, you can't get me
fucking with
yurt.
You. There was like a fucking there was a teepee set up right next to where I was camped, and everybody wanted to come visit me at camp. I was like, so you go to the saloon, and you go past the saloon to the teepee, and then you go past the teepee to the woods line, and that's where I'm at.
Yeah,
I was fucking with you too.
Nuh-uh.
Gotcha. Classic rubber and glue. Wait, paper? Glue?
Classic rubber moment.
Rubber glue.
Rubber and glue moment. Classic.
Nick, a.k.a. Dad Squad, asks if yurts have doors. I'm assuming yurts because he asked, do they have doors? And yes, every yurt I have ever been in had a door. It's
still made of like canvas. It's like you can kind of like fold it and roll it.
I've been in yurts with full on wooden doors, like very beautifully painted.
Did you do VIP camping at Coachella?
No, this was at this place called Kaleidoscope in Ravensdale.
Okay.
I took
in
a bunch
Ravensdale?
Of mushrooms there. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they had two yurts.
Dude, I used to go dirt biking.
It's only
$20,000
a yurt
every weekend.
Right? It's pretty cheap to get a yurt.
Yeah, this is like the top of the top yurt.
Yeah, that's a
$20,000. You could build a sick ass studio in this.
Like a lot of. Hey, Goostronics is in. We're talking about yurts, bro.
You're just in time to hear us go off the rails for the fourth time tonight.
Oh, that's just the fourth time on this podcast. We recorded a podcast right before this, and it was a short one, and we went off the rails a lot.
Yeah, we started off the rails.
Yeah, we talked about lasers.
Actually,
and protein.
In half the time, I think we got more useful information across in that one than we did with this one, and we started potentially even more off the rails.
That
so
is
I'm proud
accurate.
Of, I'm proud of how off the rails we have committed to on this episode. I cannot believe anyone is still in the chat.
I think this is a really entertaining episode. I was really
entertained
by that dead baby getting dug out of the woods. For any of you who totally missed the beginning of this episode, you're going to have to go listen. I'm not explaining it again.
Yes. Haunted House rave.
But how do you get bookings?
Called a festival. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Back on the rails.
Hey,
here we go.
So, here we go.
Festival bookings. What do you do?
High key, have friends, man. Network. Know people.
R.I.P.
Be cool. Show up. Right? Like, so I've talked about this a bit before on the cast a while back, but about 15 months ago, I got a call out of the blue from a lady who I used to record vocals for. She used to come to my studio to record, and she was like, dude, I'm on this event promotion team, and we just got hired to do an event, and they need more DJs this weekend, and you're the first person I thought of. You've always been cool. I love your music. I have your sticker on my laptop. Like, I really want you to play this. Are you free on Saturday? And I'm like, it's the pandemic. Of course I'm free on Saturday. I will do anything to get out of the house, including risk COVID to go to this weird little festival. And then being at that festival, I met a bunch of the other DJs there and some of the other people there, and like had good times talking to them and dancing with them, and got a bunch of people's numbers. And some of them invited me to play their little house parties, and some of them invited me to a potluck that I was not DJing at, but I went anyways. And then at that potluck, turns out it was at a dude's house that I knew like 10 years ago, and his birthday was the following Saturday. And his buddy that invited me was like, oh yeah, Luke played a really good DJ set. You should have him DJ your birthday party here at the house. And so I got to do that. And that same week, I got invited to go Ecstatic Dance for the first time at Ohm Culture. And I started just showing up there. And I started showing up for like 6 months. And then in that 6 months, there was all these other little opportunities to do small parties, like DJing living rooms, DJing camping campouts, DJing rooftops, DJing a treehouse, for Christ's sake.
Oh, that sounds tight.
It was lit. It was
that
really
sounds
lit.
Super tight.
Until the entire...
Was everyone in the treehouse or just you?
Me and my homegirl who kept loading bowls for us. It was great.
Good.
And okay, at
so
one,
DJ booth
and at
in
one
a treehouse.
Point, a lady nice. Complaining to her friend about her boyfriend. And I was like, you guys got to get the fuck out of this treehouse. I love y'all, but you need to go complain somewhere else. You're fucking up my vibe up here.
Screaming about a
yeah,
it was, bad boyfriend.
Yep.
Doesn't belong in a treehouse.
Yeah, I ended up stopping hanging out with that crew of people because it turns out it was just a lot of relationship drama that I didn't need to be around. But shouts out for them for like really showing me a reflection of the relationship drama I was in and the fact that I didn't need to stay in that either. So very valuable, very valuable. But the other folks who, you know, had me DJ the house party and the rooftop and the campouts were like, yo, like, you should keep coming around. We love you. And kept inviting me to do stuff. And then after about 6 months of on and off going to the Ecstatic Dance place, they had a cancellation last minute. They're like, next week we have so-and-so, so come back. And somebody yelled out, they just called and canceled. And they're like, oh, fuck, next week we have, I don't know, we'll figure it out, I guess. And so right after that, I ran over to the owner of the place and was like, yo, I got you. And he's like, well,
nice.
I hope you do, because I have no other options. And I texted everybody I knew in the community and got a bunch of people out. And, you know, normally they have like maybe on average, say like 30 people out. And I probably had like close to 60. And
hell
dude
yeah.
was like, oh, yeah, we're having you back. And so now I just last week I did my 6th appearance at that spot.
Wow.
And yeah. I absolutely love it there. Shouts out to Ohm Culture in Seattle. Shouts out to Michael Cesaris for having an amazing place that the community can gather at. And then I went to Central America. I went to Mexico and Guatemala, and I brought my little tiny DJ decks, my DDJ 400, and my laptop with me. And every chance I got, I broke it out and DJed for people, just like for free, just for fun. And one of the people that I was DJing for was actually the first person who ever did a set, like the first time I ever went to Ohm Culture, Aliko. And Aliko got to hang out with me. We've been like slowly getting to know each other. Be like, oh yeah, I met you at that thing. And oh, hey, good to see you again. And we had like a really good conversation in December. And then in early February, we end up in the same place in Mexico for 5 days on this trip. and I DJed two or three times when he was there. And then I'm hanging out in Tulum because my other friend was living there at the time from the same community and was like, yo, like, I got you two DJ gigs down here because I want to dance to your music while you're here. And, you know, she had been networking also. I was like, yo, my friend's coming. He's a DJ. He's coming all the way from Seattle. And they're like, whoa, that sounds cool. Because when
exotic.
You travel from another place, right, you're automatically cooler.
Yeah.
And so they had me at these DJ gigs and I'm like literally like riding to a DJ gig in a cab. And I get a text from Aliko like, dude, I'm doing a festival at the end of August and I would really like you to play. How much do you want to get paid for it?
How much did you say?
I said $250.
Please tell me they said yes.
Yep. And
God, that's awesome.
Yeah. And that's why
that's like actually a fucking decent, not even decent. Like that's a really good fee.
Yeah.
Honestly, most gigs, if you're getting paid is good.
Yeah.
Sad to say.
Even like the fucking best clubs in Seattle, like Q Nightclub, like $75.
Yep.
Like for the closing slot.
Yep.
Like club is full. After the headliner.
Yep.
$75 for fucking 90 minutes.
Yep.
$250 is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
And I got to that by being down to play a lot of free shows just for the people I like to hang out with anyways. And then like support and dance my ass off for the other DJs that are there and the ones that invited me. And then like tell people how cool they are and how cool their party is and invite people to the next one. And then they want me back. And then... You know, like, you just keep showing up. Keep showing up. And being a part of the community. If you want to play somewhere, be there and meet the people who are there. Become friends with them. And if you clearly can't be friends with them, it's not aligned to play there. And that's okay. And play somewhere else. Play anywhere they'll have you if you're starting out. If you're so busy and so in demand that you have to turn shit down, congratulations, that's lit. But until you get there, just DJ. The more people that know you DJ, the more people will be like, yo, you should come DJ.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Yeah, true. And you know how music people are too, like the same way we are with our friends. We want to share music stuff, blah, blah, blah. If you're just around a group of people who are music friends and happen to throw shows, then bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
Yeah. And then there's also like, what gear do you have? And could you just like throw your own little party? Do you have like a chunky Bluetooth speaker that you can like aux into from your laptop? Or do you have like a homie with a fucking ex-DJ and a subwoofer and you could bring your studio monitors and just figure some shit out? Like somebody have a generator? Does somebody have a projector or like some sort of weird disco ball light that, you know, like you can just set a vibe with four or five homies coming together and then all of them get a turn on the decks, you know, like and you invite as many friends as you can. And then they're like, yo, when's the next party? You know, throw a renegade, throw a living room party, throw a backyard party, throw a rooftop party, throw a treehouse party. You know, what's available to you? Use what you got and then just keep doing shit. And the more you do shit, the more people know you do shit and then expect you to be doing more shit. And then somebody else is going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm throwing this whole thing. And I hear you do cool shit. My friends all love you and want you to play.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how I got all my bookings, is by showing up in community, being a good person, supporting, and taking every opportunity I was given.
Yeah, I love the story about he just canceled. We don't know what we're doing. And then literally that's how you make your own luck.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was an opportunity and you were the first person to run up to that guy and be like, I'm your man.
Yep.
And fucking made it happen.
Yeah, yep. That saying luck favors the prepared.
Yeah,
it really is. So, and I've even gotten opportunities through people just randomly reaching out. It's just that's so much. You know, it's more rare, obviously, than building up a relationship with people being around a group that does it often. But even in that case, if you're not prepared, you know, it's going to be a lot of work to get to a point where you are, or it's going to be intimidating and all that. Like, just something to consider, you know, like, I haven't played as much shows as you guys, but, like, the biggest show I got, I wasn't prepared, and it took a lot of, like, focused work on, like, what's this set gonna be, and then it's the biggest thing I've done yet, so it's gotta be really dope and perfect and blah, 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 and you'll drive yourself crazy versus, like, Luke, it seems like your process is very organic. You've just been doing it for so long for free, for passion, for fun, all that. And now it's just at a point where it's like, now you have the passion and the experience behind it. So the money just comes naturally. And I think that's the best way. Don't even focus on it and it'll come, as cheesy as that is. Obviously it gets to a point where you have to start seeking it out and taking paid opportunities, but don't, like, that's not going to be, that'll come to you. You don't go chase that as a primary income source.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I think the best way to prepare for that big show that you're talking about, like the one that you're like, oh, fuck, is by doing all the little shows. Because every time you're about to do a little show, you're going to be like, ooh, you know what? I'm going to like download some new tunes, or I'm going to like do a new mix of my whip and like put it in there too. And
that's
even
a really
if you're
good
only
point.
Like adding 10 songs per set you do, that's going to add up. And then all of a sudden you've got 100 songs ready to go. And then you've got 200 songs ready to go. And then you've got 1,000 songs ready to go. And then you're comfortable doing what you do. And then you can freestyle your way through a set and you've got 1,000 songs to choose from. Like, you know,
yeah,
it just like builds on itself.
Nothing puts the finishing songs burner on high. Like, I've got a set in a month and I want to play these 5 songs. They've got to get mixed and mastered, ready to play.
100%.
It's like you hammer on that stuff.
Yeah, I worked a lot of hours on the tunes, the new tunes I wanted to put in. Like shit that I've been letting sit on the back burner for a hot minute. I was like, fuck, I want to play these. They got to sound good. And now all of them, like if I released all of them today, I'd be cool with it. I'm not going to release all of them today. I'm going to start releasing some of them. And by the time I get around to releasing the next ones, I'll probably have touched these other ones up. But like they sounded good on a system and people danced and didn't stop and be like, huh?
There you go.
So it's technically good enough. And not that many people are listening to my Spotify anyway. So maybe just get some shit out. I was talking about Ahi. Like, Ahi's killing it. He's getting these dope festival bookings. His YouTube channel's blowing up. His Spotify numbers keep going up. Like, I'm super happy for the dude because he gives so much dope music and dope knowledge. And from every account, he's a dope guy, right? But I started scrolling down his Spotify page. You go a few years back, all the songs down there just have that under 1,000 plays on Spotify.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, that guy didn't give a fuck. He just kept putting out music regularly. And putting out his content regularly until people were like actually showing up, and then he kept doing it still, and then all of a sudden it started blowing up. And you never know, somebody might go back and find one of those old songs and put it on a big playlist at some point and blow one of them up. Like, it doesn't really matter because they're still good songs and he can still play them out if he wants because he like took the time to finish them.
Yeah consistency. Mm-hmm. Consistency makes luck, as well as getting yourself out there, as well as being a good person, be someone people want to hang around with and invite back because you were enjoyable. You weren't fighting with your boyfriend in a treehouse.
Yeah, yelling. Right.
Don't yell.
Fucking up the DJ's vibe and shit. Goosetronics.
Yeah. Take it out the treehouse.
Yeah.
Goosetronic says, don't be a hard to work with DJ. Promoters exactly. Never want to work with people that are hard to work with. I ran out of time this weekend DJing. Thankfully, the next DJ didn't care that I played a bit late because I was killing it. In fact, he had a DJ ask what the name of the track was that contained a certain sample, and it turns out it was an unreleased original he had made, and the Ooh. DJ actually wanted a copy of Goose's track. Like, that's dope. You're putting out your shit, and then people are like, yo, what's this one, though? That's the best feeling when you sneak an original into a set of other people's music, and people are like, what's this one, though? That's me, baby. Follow me on Spotify, bitch.
Dude, that happened. Literally, I was playing at fucking Club Volume in Seattle, if anyone is familiar. Oof. But I was opening for James Egbert, if anyone knows who he is. Back in 2014, was this? 13? 14. It was the second year I had produced music. But he was making like hard electro slash trance stuff. I actually really liked his music. I was fucking stoked about opening for him. And I was, you know, not you know, the guy that played right before him, but like when I got off stage, he was standing right there and I knew who he was. I was like, oh, dude, so sick to meet you. Like, really excited to see you play. And he's like, literally asked me about the second to the last song that I had played. And it was a song that I had made. And I almost shit my pants. I was so happy. It was like, that is just the best feeling. That's the stuff that literally creates the intrinsic motivation to push you through the next 2 years of making garbage that underperforms. Like, those are the moments that really matter. And the ones that you should remember when you're on hard times, because that shit is dope and will keep you going.
Amen. Mm. That feels like a bow right there.
It does.
Big, nice bow.
It does. It
big, does. Pretty bow with like sparkle big, nice, glitter on it.
Big, nice bow. Mm.
Gorgeous. Mm. So I'm going to say peace, humans. And peace among worlds.
Go listen to the album if you haven't already. Do it.
Stream the album. Go listen to Rip Kenny on loop.
Escape the escapism. Mm.
Give him enough streaming royalties to buy food. Call back to last week. That is actually going to come out in 2 weeks when this one comes out in a month. Whee! Deuces.
Bye, humans.
I like it.
I'm sick of losing people. All right, humans, what's up? Thank you for being here. So pumped to get to tell all those fun stories. Hope y'all had a good time too. Hopefully we'll see you playing at a festival soon, or at least a backyard or a living room or a treehouse, you know what I'm saying? And go check out Hardships by Scatta. I produced it as Trap Jesus, my first international collab. I'm very pumped about that. And the links are down below, along with links to our sponsors, like my sample pack I made with the homie Porch, the spice it up percussion and Foley pack that has over 50 rack instruments and 2,000 percussion loops and one shots. Foley sounds like such good stuff. I use these all the time in my records, and you can too. Dojo TV, where you can get free producer live stream classes from the producer Dojo Senseis, and check us out every other Tuesday live at 6 p.m. Pacific. Tesco's Patreon as well, where you can get educational content, project files, behind the scenes footage, track feed. Back private lessons and more. The weekly download, where you can learn from Ill Gates and his private weekly group lessons, and get access to over 300 more episodes in the archive for just $20 a month. And guest practices, where you can learn from Seth Drake at the Approach Institute. He's the best engineer you know, and your first class is free. Learn to engineer way better with Seth Drake at the Approach Institute. And you know, you can find our social medias and our other streaming sites and free sound packs and things over at thehumanmusicpodcast.com. Look forward to seeing you there and on the socials. And until next week, give him a peace and a peace among worlds. All right, it's not next week, it's 2 weeks from now. Ha! Peace among worlds.